dear brother.
Thank you, Pastor.
God is good. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. Well, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. My wife, Bethany, is back in Maine with our youngest son, Micah, who just turned 15 on July 7th, and she's homeschooling him a little bit early because he's going to be going on the road with me this September, October, for about 6 weeks. He'll be traveling with me across the Midwest, and we're looking forward to that trip. So God's just been blessing this ministry. There's so many things that he's doing. Just don't even really have time to tell you everything that he is doing, but just wanted to ask for you as a church, Pastor, I'm not sure if I shared this with you, but to pray for us because we're going to Chicago. R.W. Shambach's ministry that Donna Shambach is running now, they are doing a 10-day crusade in Chicago starting on August the 3rd. Patricia King will be there. Mark Sharona will be there. Katie Souza, Tiff Shuttlesworth, people like that. And our ministry has been asked to come, and we're taking Frank Fox, one of our KBN ministers. He'll be coming along, and Adam Clark, who's played with pretty much every country Western music star there is. He's the most gifted mandolin player that I know. And then, Freddie Clark's son, third one down, yep. And then Julian, my spiritual son, and he's going to start making his way up here because he's going to take a moment to just share testimony. But we're going to be going to that event. Now listen, 102 people were shot in Chicago over 4th of July weekend. 102 in one weekend. 84 were shot the weekend before. So people are being shot every week in Chicago. And we are going down to Englewood Park, the ground zero for gang violence. And they're setting up their 10,000-seat tent. And so we're kicking off that night. So we're just believing in those 10 days that the wind of the Holy Ghost will blow in the Windy City. Amen. So keep us in prayer for protection and for deliverance. It's not in our budget to do. Everybody that's coming has to cover their own expenses. They're not taking up any offerings because they don't want the people of Chicago to think that they've come in to make money off of them. So they're not receiving any offerings. They're asking local churches to participate, but all the guest speakers have to cover their own airfare, hotel, everything. So it wasn't in our budget, but we're not turning down an invite like this. We're going to go by faith, amen? And so we're just going to believe God. So keep us in prayer. So come on over here, Julian. I want to introduce, I mentor 23 young people across the country. And Julian is one of my newest and latest spiritual sons. And he's been down here in Harrisburg for 2 months, and he's going to be traveling with us the rest of this week and next week. And then I'm taking him back up to New England. He's going to be working with a discipleship program up there, discipling young men, and he'll be doing that. So I'm giving him a free ride back up. And he's just going to share, take some time to just share his testimony, what God has brought him out of and what God is doing. And we're excited about what the Lord is doing in this, I'll still call him young man's life. And he's joining the 40s Club in January. But just greet them, Julian, and let them know what God's been doing in your life.
How's everybody doing today? God is good. I don't know about you, but I love God. I love Jesus Christ. I love the power that he has, the things that he takes us from, the adversities that we face in life, the trials and tribulations, and how he intervenes at that last minute. Testing our faith. You know, it says that God's a God of test. So sometimes he tests our faith. I can remember I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul talked about how he had continued to ask God to remove this thorn from his flesh. And he asked him 3 times, but the Lord responded in chapter 12, verse 9. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weaknesses." You see, God had to take me through these struggles, through these trials and tribulations, in order for me to get where I was at. I was an addict for 24 years. I did heroin, meth, crack cocaine, alcohol, you name it. In and out of the prison system since I was 12 years old, I did 18 years behind bars. I was a ranking member of one of the biggest prison gangs in the state of Texas for 11 years. And at the last minute, when I felt like there was no hope, I sat and I was sitting at a bus station. I'd probably been high on meth for 11 days. And a guy was walking later on. I would get to know that was what they called a Christian. And he was walking, and he said as he was doing his daily devotions this morning that God had stopped and told him to tell me that he had big things planned for me in my life. Now, you're looking at a guy that had been high on meth for 11 days, carried a gun everywhere he went, was a gang member. I didn't want to hear none of that. I looked at him like, you know, you're just a Jesus freak. I don't want to hear none of this stuff. And I sat there, and little did I know that 3 years later, that I would be a Jesus freak myself. God is a wonderful and amazing God. 3 years later in December, I'll be celebrating 3 years of sobriety. 3 years. I'm an author of a book that comes out in late December, the spring of next year, in Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, you name it. God has blessed me with a publishing company that wanted to get my testimony out there to inspire people. You know, the bird on the barbed fence. Yes. And so hopefully everything works out fine. You know, I'll get my ordained minister credentials tomorrow. Yeah, right here in this church. Got my HICED diploma about 2 weeks ago. Opens up opportunities for me to go with my biggest passion is to go back to college and maybe attend a Bible college. So God has really done amazing things in my life. I was just sharing with this young lady over here something that God had put on my heart the other day. And he said, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, he said, never grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And those three words have stuck beside me through everything that I faced in life, from people telling me that I would never make it. I would be a drug addict all my life. I'd be incarcerated. I was bipolar. It didn't matter. I mean, everything that man threw at me. But every time I faced all these adversities in life, I always seek the Bible, and I would sit down. When I left the gang, people told me I wouldn't make it overnight. My life was threatened. There was nothing I could do. But see, I believed in a bigger God than that. I believed in a bigger God than their God. See, they didn't realize at that time, and neither did I, but their God had to ask my God for permission for anything. And see, and just like Job was, he went through so many adversities in life, but the devil had to ask God if he could put him through it. And he said he could give him everything, but he could not kill him. And I think that God put me in that, in the spirit of Job. I went through so many things. So many times I wanted to give up. Even as recent as several months ago, I said, there's no hope for me. What am I fighting? Why did I keep on? I'm staying at these shelters. What am I doing? What kind of life do I have? Could never find stability. I was sober. I believed in Christ. I followed him. But I was still going to these shelters, didn't understand. Then I realized that God was putting me there for a purpose. You see, I would love a home. I would have loved a car. I would have loved a family, kids. But that's not what God had planned for me. You see, it wasn't about Julian anymore. It was about what God had planned for me. And as he put me through these shelters, I got to meet amazing people that were battling with their relationship with God. And God used me as a vessel at that moment to inspire them to keep on moving on, to continue to pursue him at any cost, whether it cost you your life, whatever it costed me. I never stopped pursuing God. I always was persistent in everything I did. I put 110% in my addiction. I was going to put 110% in my relationship with God. I will run to the end of this earth following the God that I serve today. He's a merciful. He's an understanding God. He's shown me grace on my life. He's a forgiving God. When everybody else said, you will never amount to nothing, God intervened and he said, I have big plans for you. Amen. So God is good. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for allowing me into your church and giving me it's always a privilege to share what God's done in my life. It's never to brag or boast about what I've been through. It's just a living testimony of what God can do and what he's doing now. The biggest thing for my testimony is not the 18 years behind bars. It's not the 24 years as an addict. It's not a prison gang member. That's just to let you know where I've come from. The biggest thing of my story is what God's doing now in my life. And how every morning I wake up, there's never a day that I don't wake up. We were just sharing today. She said, why do you keep on smiling? You just smile away, don't you? And that's because I'm so grateful. Like I look back at everything I've been through in life, and I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life. And so I'll leave you with that. Thank you. I appreciate it. God bless you. Oh, so the biggest thing for me, the two biggest things in my walk is that the power of prayer and the power of planting a seed. And the reason why I say the power of prayer is because I had a mother that prayed diligently for 36 years. Not 3 days, not 3 months, like she probably would have liked to. But she continued to believe in a God that she prayed that would somehow manage to get me back on track for 36 long years. I'll be 40 in January. 36 years she prayed diligently. Every time I called her, every time I was in a prison cell, every time I had relapse, every time I was in the hospital from a drug overdose, every time she said, all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ. And she never stopped praying. That's the power of prayer. The second thing is that man that day did not water the flower. He did not put the sunlight on the flower. But he was the man who planted the seed in my heart. That's the power of planting a seed in somebody's heart. The man didn't get to see what God has done in my life. All he did was he knew what his purpose was. You see, God had already told this man, all I need you to do is plant a seed in his heart. I'll do the rest. That's all you have to do. Some of us are planters. Some of us put the sunlight. And some of us have the privilege of pouring the water and watching it grow. But whatever you are, whatever it is, you have to be content with what God gives you. But God tells every single one of us, he tells every single one of us that we are a planter of the seed. Amen? Thank you.